You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Rise.
Wake up!
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up, wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy, Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Fun times at Starbucks.
Yeah, there was some fun times this morning. It was. I'm feeling great. This show's flying by. We got Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky, Joe Spadoni alongside you. We got Steven Rizzotto. Preseason is over, people. There's no more preseason. We got real football coming up here. Less than 2 weeks away now, Sam. Niners, Seahawks, week one. And the next time we talk about a 49ers game,
it's going to be a real game.
It's going to be for real. Are you for realia? Shout out Rich Aurelia. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to be talking about.
13 days.
Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDonald. We got a lot to get into in 2 weeks' time. We're going to be doing it right. There's, again, no place you want to be other than 95.7 The Game when it comes to football, basketball, baseball. We've been dominating all of it. And in about, what, 2 months'
we've
time?
We've even talked hockey on this station.
We've talked some hockey.
Not lately, but you know.
Well, the Sharks.
And
don't
not today.
Don't worry, the Sharks are biding their time. All right, they're developing. They're getting younger. They're getting stronger. They're getting faster. Macklin Celebrini. I'm looking for not a sophomore slump, Sam. I'm looking for him to take that next level in his sophomore year. Right? The guy got comps to Sidney Crosby. All right.
I think this could be their.
If you get comps to Sidney Crosby, you got something.
I think they're going to have an arrive earlier this year.
Really?
Anyway, that's just the hot hockey take of the day there. So we can stop with that for the next couple.
It's over. It's done. No more hockey talk. Shout out to those watching on YouTube, by the way. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. And be listening in the next 10 minutes or so. In the next 10 minutes, we're going to play a sounder. And you got to be caller number 5 to the contest line. I'm not going to play the sounder. We played it a lot. All right. But when you hear
the
sounder next.
It's the air horn for those who don't know.
Well, for those of you who don't know, but you should have been knowing. You should have been listening all morning long. But if you don't, and you caught us just now, be listening the next 10 minutes. We're going to be giving away a pair of Giants tickets coming up. So be listening for the next 10 minutes.
I'm not leaving.
Thank you. Love me some Wolf of Wall Street. By the way, speaking of Wolf of Wall Street,
Impressive that you knew you could pick up that drop right away.
I'm Sam, you know me. Like the weird like pop culture like line references.
I've seen that movie
me.
A bunch of times. There's no way I could have picked it out that quickly.
Well, I've been watching a lot of the Cowboys doc on Netflix, and for those of you
who checked that out last night
too. It's really good. It's the American Gambler or whatever it's called.
America's Team.
Yeah, The Gambler. That's what it is. America's Team, The Gambler. Again, I just call it the Cowboys doc on Netflix because there's so many damn documentaries these days.
Too many.
But it's really good, and I finished, and I urge you, for those of you who haven't seen it, to watch it. There's going to be a conversation at some point this week when it comes to ownership here in the Bay, and you know the downfall of the Cowboys. It's been widely documented. It's Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
He's been part of the rise of the Cowboys, but also part of their failures and not getting back to hell. An NFC Championship game, it goes on his shoulders, squarely on his shoulders.
No, I'm two episodes in, and first things first, the concept of Jerry Jones not being old kind of escapes me. He's just one of those, he's kind of in that Morgan Freeman territory in that, like, he was just born at age 75, right? Like, he just kind of came out that way.
Right. Well, the Jim Nance, I always think of that way. Like, I've been watching Jim Nance for the last, like, 25 years, and it looks like he hasn't aged at all.
He's been 65 forever.
Yeah, forever, right?
So, he's born, he's like, hello, friends. Well, I'm Jim Nance. Welcome to the world.
That's right.
But yeah, seeing young Jerry Jones, it's unsettling. But
so, I'm talking about that because we're talking about ownership and expectations, right? And it's funny how we viewed those teams, right? The team of the 80s was the 49ers. The team of the 90s was the Dallas Cowboys. The team of the 2000s, hell, for most of it, you can just go with the whole Patriots.
Team of the 20th century has been the Pats.
It's been the Pats. And
then, now it's the Chiefs.
Of the last 5-6 years, it's been the Chiefs, right? And it's kind of a fun question. I guess the team of the 2020s, it's been the Chiefs.
It's been the
so
Chiefs,
far.
Yeah. Can
the Philadelphia Eagles take over there and start their own little mini dynasty? I'm sure Niner fans do not want that at all, but it just got me thinking what could have been with the 49ers these last few seasons. Could that have been the team of the 2020s? No, it's a good point.
Like you get one third down stop in Super Bowl 54. You Jake Moody makes an extra point a couple years ago. Kwaski Tart comes up with a catch. Brock Purdy's elbow doesn't explode.
Right.
Oh my God, there's a litany of them.
And what the Cowboys were going on through the doc was, what if they stuck with Jimmy Johnson? That's how they ended the doc, spoiler alert, is, you know.
Wait, Jimmy didn't work out with the Cowboys?
No, there you go, yeah. But
I'm a big Jimmy Johnson guy.
Well, I am too, and I actually came away from it a bigger Barry Switzer fan, because I think that guy got a lot of, you know, unjustified hate when it came to him being so much different, his approach, than Jimmy Johnson was. He's more of a wrap your arm around kind of guy, kind of like, you know, pat you on the back saying, hey, it's going to be okay.
Jimmy
good job.
Oh my God. They're talking about the conditioning thing. I was watching last night. It's like, you know, they're talking about the conditioning part. And one of the players is like, yeah, I'm running. And I look to the side. I see a guy lying on his back. And they cut to this kid lying on his back. And he's like, coach, I have asthma. And Jimmy's like, what? I don't want no asthma. Go on that field. Go have asthma over there.
It's so
I'm just
great.
Like, oh, that is how you become what Miami was to the U.
Yeah, you say screw asthma. That's what you do. You say screw asthma and we win national championships.
Go have asthma on that field over there.
And you can't.
Could you imagine Kyle Shanahan saying that to one of his players?
I can't. He's more.
Ricky, go have a bullet hole over there on that field.
Oh my God. You're jumping the shark.
I'm not
here.
A doctor.
Jesus.
So.
It's a great point.
Go work on your sore calf over on that field.
I'll say this, Kyle Shanahan, his style and approach, it is very millennial. It is very just, you know, I'm going to put my arm around these guys. I'm going to try to relate to them more. He's more surly, and that comes out with his dad, right? He is his father's son in that regard. He's going to be a little more pissed off to the media. He's going to, you know, be a little snide and sarcastic, which again, very millennial. I don't think he is a millennial. Maybe he's on that fringe. I think he's in his mid-40s, right? But
possibly.
I actually am coming away from that documentary with a lot more respect around here in the Bay Area when it comes to ownership and coaching. And what I'm getting at is this. Kyle Shanahan, I think I'm a lot higher on him as a coach than a lot of other people are right now. I think stock is down if you just ask nationally when it comes to Kyle Shanahan. If, you know, would you rather have Kevin O'Connell or Kyle Shanahan? People would say Kevin O'Connell. And let's be honest, what has Kevin O'Connell done in the NFL that's been greater than Kyle Shanahan? Nothing. He hasn't gone to two Super Bowls like Kyle Shanahan has. He hasn't won playoff games like Kyle Shanahan has. Kyle Shanahan, at worst, Sam, you know, he gets to the NFC Championship. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. If you get him in the playoffs, he gets you to the NFC Championship. So when I look at this season and ask the question at 888-957-9570, preseason's over, Niner fans. Are you feeling better or worse about this team than you did prior to preseason starting? And I'm saying I'm feeling a whole hell of a lot better because at the premier position for a Kyle Shanahan offense, you improved. You have Christian McCaffrey as your number one, healthy Christian McCaffrey as your number one, and you have Brian Robinson Jr. as your number two. This is as good as I have felt about the running back room in years. Years. And it's just because of two players. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. Like Raheem Mostert and, you know, the Matt Breidas of the world, and you had Tevin Coleman. I was like, can you really rely on those games? Like those names for a full season? No, it was like a by committee, right? But Christian McCaffrey, Hall of Fame talent.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson can be a one.
You I got think some legitimacy here.
I think he could be a one on some teams as it is cut day, and a lot of people are going to be cutting down their rosters.
I think tomorrow's cut day.
Tomorrow
at 1 o'clock is cut day.
But you're going to start seeing all the cuts being out.
You're
right. No, you're right.
Now.
You're right. Cut day's technically tomorrow, but I'm seeing it now around the league. A guy like Mike Hilton out of Miami getting released. Drew Rosenhaus making it known. So you're going to be seeing all these quote unquote bigger names getting cut elsewhere in the next 2 days. And maybe you will find another running back or a wide receiver or a secondary help. They're not done yet. Another man's trash is another man's treasure, right, Sam? So you're going to be seeing that. But I'm feeling a lot better about this team because of that Brian Robinson Jr. acquisition, Sammy, going forward here.
No, and again, you brought up Kyle Shanahan here, and I'm kind of curious where he falls in because we're talking about all the things that make us feel better or worse since the start of training camp. And Kyle Shanahan is a lightning rod around this team, and I do kind of wonder. I mean, I feel like most Niner fans are kind of entrenched in their stance on Kyle. Either they're in Kyle we trust or it's in Kyle we bust. And yeah, it's just, I don't know how many people are changing their opinions right now. I am kind of curious where Kyle Shanahan falls on the why I feel good versus why I don't feel good spectrum for the 49ers and this season coming out of training camp. Because, you know, I said this the other day, you know, I think the one thing I do trust Kyle Shanahan to do is find talent in the draft and then develop that talent into capable, everyday, sometimes superstar football players. I say this because up and down this roster is full of guys that Kyle Shanahan has found late in the draft at times who have become just absolute studs for this team. George Kittle, Fred Warner, they highlight that. Brock Purdy, he's become a great success story. You know, Brandon Ayuk as a first-round pick. Nick Bosa as a first-round pick. Kyle Shanahan has shown that he is able to find that talent and develop it up. And then when you look at what he's did with this draft this year, I do like the talent they found in this draft. I'm excited to see what Mykel Williams could do. I really hope that missing the preseason isn't going to set him back too much. I do have concerns there. But I look at the Alfred Collins might be a work in progress. Love Nick Martin. My goodness, was he flying around in that game on Saturday night. Forced that
fumble.
He's
been a bright spot these preseasons, yeah.
If I'm, like, it looks like you got a winner right there. And if I'm coming in the season, I love the idea of my starting linebackers being Fred, D. Winters, and then either Tatum Bethune or Nick Martin. Between those four at linebacker, I'm feeling really good there. Upton Stout looks like a great one. C.J. West, I think he'll probably be in the second string of defensive tackles to start, but I still like a lot of what I saw from him. You got some great defensive players here that came out of this draft. I think Kyle Shanahan did a pretty good job on this draft, or maybe it was John Lynch because it was all defensive players. Whatever you want to say, Kyle Shanahan is the dude down there making the final call, so he does get the final shot there. That does kind of give me some reasons for feeling good. I'd feel a little bit better, though, if I saw more from West and Collins.
I was going to say, because
like, I saw things I like from West, could have seen more Collins. It's like, you're a bull rush, and that's it, buddy.
Nick Martin, Upton Stout, yes. And how are they going to translate to regular season action, not preseason, going up against the ones? We shall see. But I'm very encouraged going forward. Mykel Williams, I don't know. Haven't seen him enough. Can't tell. You know, he gets hurt in joint practice a couple weeks ago against the Broncos. We'll see. Alfred Collins, underwhelming. C.J. West, underwhelming. Jordan Watkins, where is he? I don't know. High ankle sprain, nowhere to be seen. Jordan James, same thing. Marquis Siegel was nice. We'll see. And then Curtis Rourke, obviously, he was hurt when he got him. Connor Colby, that's another positive. We'll see.
Yeah, like him.
You got to step up. Again, the name of the game.
Junior Bergen could hopefully solve some of the return issues.
Maybe. I don't feel great about that. I'm just going to be honest.
Either him or Sky Moore.
Again, can we get someone with hands? Like, that could catch the ball, please? Yeah. And could someone could, like, it, I know it's not
asking. That's just such a wild thing to say about a receiver.
You can't catch. Well, but that, again, that happens. There are wide receivers that stick around because solely on their speed that can't catch. Darius Hayward Bay being one of them. There's guys that stick around that aren't known for their hands, but known for their speed, and occasionally they will get a deep bomb and catch it, and then you're good. Hell, there's that meme of Nelson Aguilar. Remember that? He's like, oh.
Unlike Aguilar,
right? But in the Super Bowl, I always remind people, the Eagles, when they beat the Patriots, Nelson Aguilar had like 100 yards. He was incredible in that game. So
stepped up.
So we'll see with Sky Moore. I think they got him because they just need bodies
in
general.
They do, yeah.
They just need depth.
But I do think he's going to be on the final roster, so he's going to play a part there, and that's where I'm kind of curious how Kyle Shanahan is going to utilize him. He does have the speed, but he doesn't have the hands. That's why I do think he's going to be kind of the Debo jet sweep guy. I'd be curious to see if I'm right on that or not on that one. So you feel high on this team right now coming out of it because of the leadership of Kyle Shanahan?
I feel like there's more.
What's that?
I'll get to it in a second because that was the sounder. And your San Francisco Giants are taking on the Baltimore Orioles at Oracle Park this Saturday, August 30th at 4:15 p.m. The first 15,000 guests receive a Black Heritage jersey. Buy your tickets at sfgiants.com. But if you want to win your way into the game, be caller number 5. The contest line right now, 415-523-4652. Again, 415-523-4652, and you'll score 2 tickets to the game courtesy of Cutwater. All right. I feel good about this team, Sam. You know why? I do feel like there's more known about this team than unknown. And I do think why a lot of people have a lot of trepidation, a lot of fans are scared right now, is because everyone has fears of what? The unknown.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we don't like. It's just human nature.
Understandable.
We don't like what we don't know and understand. And unfortunately, there's deeper levels to that conversation that go into a whole hell of a lot of stuff that's over my head, yours. That's way bigger problems than sports. But in sports in particular, we fear what we don't know. Right now, Warriors fans are having a tough time dealing with the fact that the window is closing with the Golden State Warriors and Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler, and they're all getting older.
We don't know what we can expect from them on a night-to-night basis. That's
and we don't
unsettling.
Know what we can expect after they're gone. And that's why you want to maximize.
That's even worse.
You want to maximize the here and now.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you don't know what you're going to have once they're gone, Sam.
Correct.
You know it's not going to be the same. And you're probably never going to reach the heights that you did when you had those guys. Probably. And this is what Michael Jordan, the Bulls, right? That's the fear. Is turning into the Chicago Bulls post-Michael Jordan. That's the fear, the unknown. All right? And I think a lot of Niner fans are fearing right now is the unknown about the number twos on this roster. The number twos, the guys that need to step up alongside George Kittle, alongside Fred Warner, alongside Nick Bosa, Diamador Lenore. All these guys that are knowns on the team, but a lot of people are like, can we trust Mykal Williams? Can we trust Bryce Huff? Can we trust some of these guys? Can we trust, Brian Robinson Jr.? I think you can now, Brian Robinson. I think that is a trust factor there for Niner fans. So I actually feel better because of the amount of knowns on this roster than unknowns. I think there's Niner fans would be surprised. If you look around the league right now, like even in your own conference, the Detroit Lions, they have 2 new starting coordinators. Now they have talent. They dealt with a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries.
They're going to have Aiden Hutchinson back.
We'll see. I'm very curious to see how that team's going to look and Dan Campbell's going to look without Ben Johnson, who we all thought was, the cream of the crop, the offensive coordinator, now head coach with the Chicago Bears. Aaron Glenn, he's gone. He made something out of nothing with that defense a lot last year when push came to shove, and now he's the head coach out with the Jets. All right. And then you got the Eagles. They're the standard. They're the favorites. We get that. But look in your own division.
Yeah.
It's a lot of unknowns with the Los Angeles Rams.
Is Matt Stafford? Yeah. What's going on there?
Thank you. Literally the biggest unknown is at the quarterback position. The unknown for Kyler Murray at the quarterback position with Jonathan Gannon in year 3 now. Hey, kind of nut up or shut up if you're in Arizona, right? Sam Darnold. There's still. Do people know who Sam Darnold is?
I think we know what Sam Darnold is.
No, do we though?
No, I think we do, and that's why we don't. That's why no one really knows what the Seahawks are going to do.
I don't know what Sam Darnold is.
They have talent around Sam Darnold. I mean, you got a great receiving core with JSN and Cooper Kupp, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. That's a solid number 3 right there. Yeah. But it's the dude getting the ball to him. That's the unknown part there. I do agree. Yeah, there is, I feel, probably more known about this team, but even still, it just, this team, it, I keep comparing this team to the 2021 season, where I do think there's going to be some bumps in the road. There's a lot of youth on this team. There's going to be some growing pains, and I do think this team, I would not be shocked if this team is 3-5 halfway through the year.
Really?
Yes.
3-5.
I think, and then I do think they're going to rally in the second half of the season. I honestly, a 10-7 season is, I think, very much, 10-7 and a playoff appearance is still very much possible.
I think they're going to start the season 4-0, personally.
Really?
I think they're going to be favored in every single one of those games, and maybe in all the games the rest of the season, just due in part because of the schedule. I'm just looking at some of the teams they're facing who were top 5 or top 10 picks in this past draft, meaning they weren't very good. Seahawks, week 1. Saints, week 2.
2-0.
Now look at the Saints quarterbacks. Again, I'm all wait to give the predictions here, but I'm just saying there's a good chance they start out 4-0. The Cardinals, the Jaguars, I get it. Like, those aren't shoe-in wins, all those. And I don't know what version of the Jaguars we're going to get. I understand.
It's hard for me to look at the Cardinals games right now as gimmies, considering what the Cardinals did to the Niners twice last year. Maybe I'm being a little too pessimistic on that one. I can see that Cardinals game being the 3-1 record to start the year.
Maybe.
But that October slate of at the Rams, at the Bucs, versus the Falcons on Sunday night, at the Texans. I said, man, 0 for October. I would not be shocked.
0 for October?
I would not be shocked
the hunt
if that's
for
what
red
happens.
October?
I hope I'm wrong there, and if I am wrong, I look forward to being called out on it. But just, we look at how I could see October being the growing pains month.
Wow, Rams, just, Bucks,
Falcons? Both on the road.
Texans weren't that impressive. I know they were a playoff team. The Texans, really?
Texans are a tough team right now. They're on the up and up right now.
CJ Stroud, I'm high on CJ.
They're moving in a positive direction. Again, I like to be wrong on that, but there's growing pains when it comes to development, you know, and we've seen this in the past. There was, you know, a rough patch that we saw in 2021. Same thing in October. Things got ugly, and they were 3-5 at that point. They turned it around, though. And I think that's what you'll see here. Because then coming into November, you got at the Giants, you got the Rams, at the Cardinals and Panthers. You got to feel if the defense is feeling better there, if the defense is performing better there. You're going to have Brandon Ayuk back by then. Your offense is going to be fully clicking on all cylinders. There's no reason why the second half of this season won't see this team just going on a run here. They might have to work into it, and that's going to suck to have to wait for that to happen. But if this team is 3-5 at the end of October, but then 10-7 at the end of the season in the playoffs, I think you're taking that path.
888-957-9570 is the number to weigh in. Call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. BPA, Seal, we'll get to you in a second. What do we know about this Niners team? What do we not know yet? We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the regular season. Preseason is over. Cut down day tomorrow, as you said, but you're going to start seeing all the teams making their big cuts today and tomorrow leading up to, so you'll see some big names or some names that you recognize, and maybe the Niners will be interested. Maybe they won't be. Maybe the Niners will have some surprise cuts. We shall see.
Love dumpster diving.
But what is the known and what is the unknown on this Niners team currently? 888-957-9570. I feel like there are more knowns than unknowns, and that's why I'm feeling better about this team than most going forward. Let's go to Brian, who's in Palo Alto. And is he feeling better about this team now that preseason's over? What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. No, but I didn't have tremendously high hopes before. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is what I've said is Kyle's blind spots are fatal, and he can't quit them, right? And so the Moody is a perfect example of, right, like one of the things I respected most about Kyle earlier, years ago, was when he moved on from Trey Lance when it was clear it wasn't working. That took guts, right? And there were a lot of decisions to make, reasons to make a political decision. The Moody situation is just so unexplainable. This guy is absolutely cooked mentally and a complete liability, should not be the starting kicker for the 49ers. It's just, it's sad. It's hard to watch. And Kyle continuing to throw him out there when it is clear to everybody that this guy is gone mentally. And he's going to miss a big kick. It's going to be early. And the fans are going to go absolutely nuts. And it will be Kyle Shanahan's fault because he didn't tell the truth. He didn't call balls and strikes. He made a decision for reasons unknown to go with Jake Moody, who is an absolute basket case emotionally. And, you know, it's not in the best interest of the team. And he consistently makes bizarre decisions like that. And they're fatal. His blind spots are fatal always. and he has not corrected them. That's my take.
All right, that's Brian in Palo Alto. He's not feeling good about. No, well, I think that's where everyone's waking up this morning feeling like, and that's why I'm like not as hard on this team, because talking about a kicker, like most people are waking up this morning. If you're a fan around the lake, oh, I don't feel good about our offensive line. Oh God, that defensive line. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean the Niners still have concerns on the offensive and defensive lines too.
But like, if you're telling me the number one concern is the kicker, that means you're not feeling as bad everywhere else, right?
I mean, usually what that tells me. Yeah, a kicker issue.
It was an extra point. We're acting like this guy is mentally shot.
You cannot.
The game went. Hold on, Sam. He had a game tying field goal with less than a couple minutes last week, and then the game winning field goal of 50 yards or more. Like,
no one
that
cares.
Meant something. No,
no
you don't
one
know. Oh, it did. Brian Baldinger told us it meant something.
Where you try to duplicate that in practice, going, okay, if we make this field goal, there's no conditioning. If you make this field goal, we're eating steak tonight. I mean, you can do all the things you want to assimilate in practice to put them in a pressure situation. But there's only one pressure situation that's, you know, to go win a game. And he did. So, look, it was a disaster last year from the kicking to the special teams. You know, that all has to improve this year.
So you can only simulate that in a preseason game.
I wonder
practice
how many
isn't going to be simulating it.
I wonder how many steak dinners Jake Moody has cost the Niners over the last couple of years in practice. No, Spinoni, I'm sorry. You cannot say it's just an extra point when literally one of the major reasons this team does not have a Lombardi trophy that says you won it in Las Vegas is because Jake Moody was too low on an extra point.
I think we're waking way too much on Jake Moody still.
Jake Moody has cost this team enough games to the point where just the confidence is gone. It is. There are Niner fans out there that probably root for him and probably want him to turn it around. And that is great. It would be awesome if he did. But like, I'm sorry, no, you cannot just sit here and dismiss it's just an extra point when that has been an issue for him.
Extra point in a preseason game, that doesn't matter.
This is going to be a team that's going to be playing close games. They do not have a world-beating offense right now, considering what the state of the receiving game is. They can run the ball. That's great. But points are going to be important, especially if you have a defense that, I don't know what they're going to be like early on. You cannot afford to leave points on the field. And if it's a we'll see. Week one.
We will.
If he has to
I'm
kick,
rooting for Jake
If he
Moody.
Has to kick the game winner in week one, I really want to know. Maybe we can get on this on the other side. 888-957-9570.
Oh, we're up against it. Flying by.
It's 2 seconds left in Seattle, down by one. Jake Moody's coming on for a 40-yard field goal. What are you feeling? I want to know, Niner fans, what are you feeling? Because I'm not just dismissing. Oh, it's just there is an issue with Jake Moody, and you cannot leave a win on the table because he can't get the job done when the time comes.
Do you have faith in Kyle Shanahan? Do you have faith? Yes
Possibly.
Or no? It's a yes or no answer.
Possibly.
Do you have faith in
Possibly.
Kyle Shanahan?
I have faith that Kyle Shanahan.
Just answer the question: yes or no?
What faith in what?
And him being the leader of this team.
Yeah, I think he can lead this
Great.
Team to a disappointing finish.
He has faith in Jake Moody. And he'll tell you that on the other side.
I don't believe
it. And
that.
It's going to be brought to you by Safeway.
Hey, this is Jonathan from San Francisco. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky.
What's up, Jonathan? It's Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky alongside myself, Joe Spadoni. We got a little bit of breaking news per Adam Schefter, ESPN. A deal has been struck. Washington and wide receiver Terry McLaurin reached an agreement today on a 3-year contract extension that will end his hold in and get him in uniform for the regular season opener versus the Giants, per sources. So Scary Terry staying in Washington.
Do we have the numbers there on that one?
Not quite.
I got John Schultz has the numbers. 3 years, $96 million.
Thank you.
Sources tell him. So yeah, Juwan Jennings, there you go. There's your number to shoot for, right?
3 years, yeah.
3 years, $96 million.
Did it?
Hope Juwan's listening right now. He's like, Lubman has a good point. Hey, Kyle, I want 96 now.
Oh,
click.
My God. Exactly. Like,
and that is how Sam Lubman killed the 49ers season.
And that's why this whole Juwan Jennings thing is just kind of laughable to me, because I get it. He was the number one on a 6-11 team last year, but you were number one on a 6-11 team, dude. You weren't Brandon Ayuk. You're not Justin Jefferson. You're not Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
You're not. And quite frankly, I think Ricky Pearsall at the end of the season is going to be the number one on the team anyways. So, but yeah. I understand Juwan.
It's not a knock on Juwan. I like Juwan a lot.
He's trying.
Like, we know what his role is here. And again, it's just when your number three receiver is doing this, there is a level of just like, come on, man. Like, as Chris Berman used to say, come on, man.
I love those segments.
I miss Chris Berman.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number to get involved, by the way. It's the same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Mark in Idaho, Noel in the city. I will get to both of you in just a second. We're digging a little deeper here. Obviously, preseason's over. We're less than 2 weeks from the start of the regular season between the 49ers and Seahawks week one in Seattle. And we're talking about the biggest concerns. And your biggest concern right now, Sam, it sounds like Jake Moody and Brian and Palo Alto called in. There's a lot of people that have a lot of concerns in regards to the kicker.
Yeah.
Well, sure. And that I'm just not there yet. I'm just not going to be there because I look at Juwan Jennings. I look at that wide receiver core. I look at the offensive line. A lot of names that are outside of Trent Williams, not very recognizable, right? They're just not. Great. You brought him back. But again, you brought back guys that are all a lot of question marks all around there. The defensive line. It's Nick Bosa and, right? Like, there's so many other, like, places I get to.
Bryce Huff.
Exactly. Like, I'm not the kicker.
No, sure. I'm making a big deal about the kicker because, yeah, I'm embellishing a little bit. And,
are
yeah,
you?
He is a
I
little bit.
I don't think
bit.
You are. I think I might you are be, concerned.
I might. I mean, no, I am concerned. Like, I think you it's just because I am concerned about Jake Moody does not mean that there aren't other concerns that I have for this team. The Juwan Jennings situation, as I said earlier, like, even if he is ready to go week one, as in he's on the field week one, I am concerned about just how ready to go he is going to be in week one. So, yeah, that is absolutely something that concerns me. The passing game in general these first few weeks, it concerns me only in that we talk about what's known about this team. Here is where I'm going into the unknown, you know, as Elsa would say, into the unknown. You're
Frozen
familiar.
Frozen 2, he kind of missed me with that
one. It was not as good as Frozen 1. But, you know, when I look at this receiving corps, there are questions. I do think, as much as I do like Ricky, as much as I am bullish on the Brock-Ricky connection, Ricky, George, Juwan, if those are your three receivers, that could be tough to open up the season. That does give me concern. I do think once they get DeMarcus Robinson back, once they get Brandon Ayuk back, you got your stable of five guys going down deep who you can trust there. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better right now in that situation. But, like, Robbie Chosen might be your number three receiver going into week one in Seattle. Robbie's had a great preseason, but also, like, the dude's been bouncing around his entire career for a reason. You know?
The chosen one. We're going to go to the phones here in a second. 888-957-9570. I did tease some Shanahan sound we will get to because I do think it's coming down to these as the top two concerns as I keep seeing it on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, Sam. It's either Juwan Jennings or Jake Moody when it comes to concern right now. And hell, between the two, what is more concerning? Is it Juwan coming back? And what Juwan are you getting when he's coming back? Because we saw Brandon Ayuk missed most of training camp last year, Sam. He was not the same guy for most of the season. Now, there's the calf injury. How much is this the calf injury? We'll hear what Shanahan had to say about that. But first, Mark is in Idaho, wants to join in the conversation. What's up, Mark? You're on the Morning Roast.
Good morning, Joes. How you doing today?
Doing great. Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky. Say what's up to Sammy.
Okay. You know, okay. Sam and Joe. Okay. That sounds good.
Thank you, Mark.
I just happened to turn on the radio and caught the last caller before the break talking about Moody, and he was very eloquent in how he felt about the whole Moody situation.
He was.
Very well spoken. And then I heard Brent Baldinger giving his 2 cents, and like I was talking to your screener, and probably the most concerning thing for me is Jake Moody. I mean, it was great to see him kick the game-tying field goal and then the game winner, but it's preseason. And then you saw the very next game how he shanked the extra point. And he's lost confidence. I mean, like somebody said, he's lost all confidence in himself. He's a basket case. The players in the locker room have got to be just fed up with seeing him trot out to make an extra point or even an important field goal. You know, so I can't imagine any of you guys thinking that that isn't the number one concern right now going into the season. What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you, Mark in Idaho. And I hear what you're saying. If it's a close game, right, and maybe 49er fans are thinking there's going to be a lot more closer games this year that could be decided by three or fewer points, I hear you. But that's why I paid my quarterback, Brock Purdy. That's why I have Christian McCaffrey. That's why I invested a first-round pick in Ricky Pearsall. That's why my head coach, as everyone tells me, the boy genius, the boy wonder, Kyle Shanahan, is one of the best in the game. And it comes down, and it was what Leroy in Oakland said earlier, and I am totally in agreement with him. It's scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see a lot of Jake Moody either, but it's for different reasons. Not that there's no trust. because I want to see, you know, him kicking extra points, not field goals.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. And listen, if the only thing Jake Moody is missing this year is just extra points and he's making all like 14 field goals that he attempts all year long, yeah, you're probably having a good year. Obviously, again, I'm not trying to poo-poo the extra point missing. That's still a very important thing. I want him to make all of his extra points. But, no, and I threw it out in the YouTube chat, which is brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. You know,
love your YouTube chat. Do they love Sam Lubin? Are they loving you back, Sam?
They're providing use today, which is, you know, not more. You can't say that very often. But Taylor Archibald, he's very concerned about safety. Jair Brown's not doing it for him. And when you're getting cooked by nobodies who are having the ball thrown to you by DJ Uiagwale, who I swear,
you just like saying that name, let's be honest.
Well, I just like that I could say it and like very other few people can. Like, can you say it?
DJ Ukulele.
Yeah, there you go. Like, Steven Rizzotto. Let's hear your DJ Uiagwale.
He doesn't want to. He's locked in somewhere else. He's cutting.
He's doing producer stuff. He's basically being me and Carter
shout
in the back
Cutwater.
Right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're getting cooked by him, like, come on, man. What are we doing? That was Taylor Archibald said that. Thelonious Monk. If the O-line can protect, then the kicker won't be an issue. I agree with that.
Thelonious?
Apollo Crews. I don't pick these names.
Is that the name of the guy from Shrek? Right? He punches
Thelonious.
The mirror.
It was Thelonious. Yeah. That's a good pull there on that one. Love a good Shrek reference. Apollo Crews, he's freaking out about the defense. Doesn't think there's enough run stopping there. Pierce Evans, O-line isn't great. D-line needs to show it can stop the run.
That's what I'm getting
at least
too.
Purdy isn't a QB who elevates others around him and needs a great supporting cast. Some wonky set and structure there. Let's see. Ernie Chavez, Sam Lubman, he concerns me about the Niners. what else is going on here?
I love you, Ernie.
There are other things besides the kicker. The D-line thing, yeah, especially on the interior, that's a very fair concern because we saw what the Arizona Cardinals did to this team last year, or it might have been 2 years ago, where they just gobbled them up on the inside runs there. Though, that's going to drive Niner fans crazy that ends up happening.
I love me a turkey gobble. I also love Noel in South San Francisco, who wants to join the conversation when it comes to the biggest concerns right now with the 49ers heading into week one. Preseason's over. There's a lot of concern around two guys right now. Juwan Jennings or Jake Moody? What's the biggest concern for you Niner fans? 888-957-9570. The first Noel. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Sam and Joe. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. It's a Monday, and I'm feeling the football fever, baby.
Yeah, let's go. Come on. Thank you guys for having me. Second-time caller, long-time listener.
Heck yeah.
Honestly, I'm all the slander that Jake Moody has had, I'm done with that. You know, once the season starts, I have bigger concerns, and the concerns are injuries. That's my take. We have bigger concerns. Jake Moody, once he gets, I think he needs some confidence inserted in him. We have the easy schedule. No, like I agree with you, Joe. We're not gonna have close games. We have Purdy. We have Christian McCaffrey. Once Moody gets locked in, he's gonna do well. He's gonna do well. I have no concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, let's go. Moody, come on, lock in. And that's all I have, fellas.
Let's go.
Concerns are just, it's just injuries, that's all. Once Moody gets locked in, he's going to do great.
That's Noel in South San Francisco. Moody needs to get locked in. And again,
a lot of joy, Noel.
I'm just telling you, the Niners, and I'm not saying this is the Super Bowl squad they were a couple years ago. I'm not saying that. Although there are some familiar faces on this team that are healthy that were there. I'm just going through that year. Blowout after blowout after blowout.
Whoa, it was 30 for Purdy.
That's exactly what it was. And then there was just not a lot of close games where it really mattered until that Browns game where Brock Purdy, who I will remind people on that final drive, Brock took him down and it was up to Jake Moody and he missed the field goal. Yeah, Brock Purdy also slipped the ball out of his hands. He turned it all over. Mm-hmm. He tried to throw a pick on the opening drive.
And there is the Jim Schwartz, Kyle Shanahan situation there where Schwartz, for some reason, is Kyle's kryptonite. No, again, and I will say this as I am bashing Jake Moody all morning long. I agree with that. Maybe I'm being too harsh on him. I don't care about that. But when it comes to kickers in the last second field goal, I do say this, and this is the same thing for any other sport where you lose by one score. If you lose in basketball by one shot, if you lose in baseball by one run or something like that, I will always say that it's never just that one moment at the end is why you lost, especially for a kicker. If a kicker, like in that Browns game, when Jake Moody missed that kick at the end of the game and the Niners lost to the Browns in Cleveland, like, yes, you have to make those kicks, but it's not all on Jake Moody in that moment, because if someone else earlier in the game did their job correctly, you might not be in that situation at the end of the game. So no, those situations I don't blame fully on Jake Moody, but that is the life of a kicker. Just because you're put in a situation that you had nothing to do with being in that situation, you still have no choice but to execute in that situation. That's why your practices are the easiest. You go, you kick a bit, you relax on the bench, and then you go and do some stretch work or other stuff, you know, back in the trainer's room there. But when the time to come out and get the job done comes, like, you have no choice. You have to do it, no matter how tough the pressure situation is, no matter how unfair the situation is. So, yeah, I'm not going to blame Jake Moody for certain situations that he has to kick in, but regardless, at the end of the day, your job is to literally kick the football through the uprights. And you have to do that at an elite level in this league, or someone else will come in and do it for you. And that's where it simply is at with Jake Moody. I do not feel that he is able to do it enough at the professional level to where I feel comfortable about it.
Kyle Shanahan, has Moody's recent play warranted another option potentially at kicker?
I mean, I thought he had one of the best games I've ever seen a guy have last week. You know, I know he missed extra point today, which definitely doesn't make us happy, but we'll see how it goes in the year. That, you know, I know he's a talented kicker. I know he's done some really good things for us. He had a rough last seven games last year, but, you know, I think he's had a real good offseason and a real good preseason also.
I mean, we're getting on the guy about a mixed extra point. That might as well be a dropped pass like Sky Moore in the preseason. If we're doing the kicker equivalent, you know, a missed extra point is a dropped first down pass. Yeah, it sucks. Clean it up. We'll move forward. All right. A missed field goal is like a fumble or something from a Christian McCaffrey. I hear you. But again, it's not.
Well, okay, you're talking about the extra point here. And again, this is where you got to remember the emotional aspect of where this fan base is at. A missed extra point was literally the reason why this team was in overtime.
Was that a missed extra point or was it blocked? And how was that
his
fault?
Kick it higher up then.
That's not his fault.
You got no.
Do the blocking.
Elevate the kick more.
See, this is where we get on, guys.
No, that is part of your job of kicking the extra point is kicking it above their hands. If you kick it too low, you're gonna hit a guy's hand. You talk about, you know, you compare a missed field goal to a fumble. What happened on that first drive for the 49ers? Christian McCaffrey fumbled, the famous Hey George play. So it's like, you can't just dismiss these things as being small, because they have shown in the past to have massive consequences for the team and what you want the season to end it. So, yeah, that is why people freak out about Jake Moody. We have seen him come in a moment that matters the most, blow it, and then have that moment, among others, come back to haunt you still to this day. That is why I think the emotional aspect around Jake Moody cannot just be discounted here. I get looking at it from the outside and being like, yes, if you just look at the raw performance, there's a lot to like there. The fact of the matter is, it is the mental part. It's the things that happen between the ears. And as BPA so eloquently put it, it's just shot there. Like, he makes a kick. You look at the kid, he doesn't seem happy. He might not even be happy with it. I'm speculating. I'm doing some reckless speculation here. But
what we do best.
That is where this fan base is at with Jake Moody. There is a lot of irrational thought here because they have been burned so many times by this dude not coming through when he has been asked to. Whether it's fair or not, that is the lot in life that Jake Moody has right now.
By the way, Football Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You subscribe to Paramount Plus, Sammy? You locked in?
That did not make the
not
cut
yet.
For me.
Well, you need to.
I have enough streaming
because
services.
Because if you're not locked in on Paramount Plus, what the hell are you doing, Sam? Because I am. I'm locked in. I'm a subscriber. Because not only do I got all the football that I need.
All of it?
I got all.
Because you need a lot of football.
I need a lot of football, but I also got Nickelodeon there, too. So I got the Slime Zone. I got SpongeBob. I love all of it.
All in on SpongeBob.
And you can't count on much these days, Sammy, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Vince, well, you've kind of sold me on Paramount Plus. I'm going to have to figure out which streaming service I drop and have it take its place.
Thank you. You need to figure that out. There's a lot of streaming services, and that's why
I'm going to figure out the streaming. Seriously, I'm going to figure out my streaming services, and then Jake Moody's going to figure out how to make kicks.
Well, he does that, all right, when it mattered most, which was, again, last week against the Raiders.
Okay, and
he
did the time. It did not matter the most in a preseason game. Come on, now you're just being silly.
Well, you're getting mad at him for missing an extra point in the preseason game. What's the difference? Vince in the city. What's up, Vince? What you got on Jake Moody? Is he a concern for you?
I mean, Jake Moody, if the game comes down to Jake Moody, then there's bigger issues at hand.
Thank you.
First of all. But second of all, I mean, Jake Moody still needs to be better. There's a reason why the whole team celebrated after he made that game winner against Oakland. Vegas in a preseason game.
No, you can call him Oakland. It's all good.
My main concern, though, is going to be our passing game this year. It's going to be the first year that we don't have Debo and B.A. Now, I know J.J. is supposed to step up and be the number one guy, but I feel like all of his success was being a number three. I compare it to Jordan Poole being the three to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. There's so much attention on Debo and B.A. before that J.J., I feel like he would get the scrub and he would always be open. Mind you, he is a big body and he's really athletic. So I hope that I'm proved wrong, that he can be like a solid number one guy. But I don't know anything about Slick Rick. I mean, yeah, he had a nice preseason, but what's he going to do against starters throughout a whole game? And then you got George Kittle. So those three guys really need to step up and perform, or else it's going to be a lot of the Jim Harbaugh era of running the football with CMC, banking our whole season again on a guy who might get hurt. Luckily, we got, what is his name, Brian Robinson, the number two back.
Junior.
So I feel like there's going to be a lot of production out of the backfield if J.J. and Slick Rick don't seem to pan out the way everybody hopes them to be. So that's my concern.
And Vince, I appreciate it, but you did kind of just slide, oh, yeah, well, and George Kittle. Let's be honest. George Kittle is one of the best pass catchers in the NFL.
I mean, I guess
right now.
He's the number one on this team.
Yes.
I guess let's just take the tight end. Like
Mike McDonald, week one on the Seattle Seahawks.
He's the number one guy you're circling.
Him and Christian McCaffrey.
Yes. And then but if we're just talking about pass catchers, he is more or less your wide receiver number one, even though he is a tight end. He's basically, I think, transitioning to the Jimmy Graham portion of his career, where he's just basically a very large wide receiver. Remember, Jimmy Graham was, Jimmy Graham, he's like trying to get paid like a receiver at the end of his career. Kane's legend, Jimmy Graham. So that's kind of where I see George, and that's a good thing. Like, I'm very excited to see what, you know, going deep more often George Kittle looks like this year, because again, I'm hoping he doesn't have to stay back and help Colt McKivitz block on the offensive line. That is something that makes me very excited about what this team can do, but it's a good point. Like, it's with Kittle and Ricky, is that enough?
Ricky Pearsall becomes a number one on this team, and we had Baldy on last week, and he's constantly used this guy as an example. Ladd McConkey, and obviously a lot of people who watch college football know who Ladd McConkey is. If you watched the NFL last year or had him in PPR leagues and fantasy, you know. He was really good, and coming out of Georgia, this guy's a national championship winner two times over. Again, I referenced, you know, 197 yards in a playoff game as a rookie. It's an NFL record. 82 receptions, about 1,150 yards last year. 82 receptions, 1,100 yards. If Ricky Pearsall does that, it's going to be an incredible redshirt season for him. It'd be incredible. That's kind of like, not that much, but if he could give me McConkey-type production, Sammy, let's say 70-65 receptions and like 850, 900 types, like 900 yards.
I'll totally take that.
That kind of area, you would take that in a heartbeat. I don't know what George Kittle's going to be doing. Can he replicate what he did last year? I'm not sure. But I just need to come out of this season knowing Ricky's my number one guy going forward as far as the wide receiver core goes.
Vince brought up another interesting point there that I kind of liked. Is he talked about how he compared Juwan Jennings to Jordan Poole, and how Jordan Poole got a lot of open looks because a lot of focus was on Steph and Clay. And how Juwan Jennings kind of had a similar situation last year where he's getting open looks because a lot of the attention is on Ayuk, Debo, or George Kittle. I am kind of curious now going into this year, the book is out on Juwan Jennings. Like, before, he was just kind of the plucky third and Juwan wide receiver. Last year, he really kind of took a major step forward in his performance and what he means to this 49ers offense. He's not going to be sneaking up on teams anymore. There's a lot more film on him now. There's going to be a lot more attention played to him now because he's not just a third and Juwan guy. He is a first, second, or third and Juwan guy. So teams are not going to be caught off guard by that. Factor in the fact that for the first few weeks, if he does make it onto the field for week one, which I'm going to be generous and assume that he will be, it's not going to be that hard to focus attention on him, considering the Niners really, again, just are not full strength in their passing attack right now.
Speaking of Juwan Jennings and whether or not he's going to be ready for week one, I know Kyle Shanahan alluded yesterday that he expects him to be, but is it Holden related? Is it calf related? This was Shanahan, a little more surly Shanahan, last week talking about Juwan Jennings' availability.
I mean, any player, not just Juwan or anyone, but people need to practice. They need to get ready to get play in NFL season, or you end up getting hurt. So hopefully he can get his health back so he can get that out there and start practicing. Just running routes, doing things like that. Same thing for Upton. Not many people can get through that stuff without practicing. And we had it a little with Bosa 1 year, a little bit with Trent, some different positions, but it's always a huge challenge.
It's always a huge challenge. And, you know, is it calf related or not? Is an interesting question, because if it is calf related, it's also an injury that we've dealt with here in the Bay a lot, whether it's a calf strain, held, you know, we've
KD,
seen
KD, we saw KD, it with McCaffrey.
But, well, Dre Greenlaw, like
Dre, another one.
There's a lot of Achilles like overlap there when we're talking about calf.
Dangerously close there.
Correct. Now the thing with Juwan is, which is, you know, I guess good in this situation, is his game's not really predicated on like explosiveness. It's not really, you know, a speedster. It's not really, you know, this big DK Metcalf type of a player. You know, that's not his game. He will use his size, and he's a bigger body, and he'll try to post up on you kind of like a basketball player, box you out and try to use his body and his size against you. But I am curious to see how defensive coordinators view this Niners team. And if I am, and I keep using this example, Mike McDonald, he is basically the DC de facto. He's the head coach. He's like the DC of the Seattle Seahawks. When they're game planning the 49ers week one, and they look at the receiving core, right? It's Ricky Pearsall, it's George Kittle, and Juwan Jennings. I'm slating it like this. I'm going George Kittle, I'm going Ricky Pearsall, and I'm going Juwan Jennings. If I'm game planning against those three, that would give me the fits.
I
hear you on Juwan Jennings if you're going to say he's the two in that situation based off last year. But I do think that Ricky Pearsall and his elite route running, and I do think he has a little bit more of a burst than Juwan, I think he could give defenses more of a headache going forward, just given that kind of Ladd McConkey comp that Baldy was giving us.
If I'm Seattle there in week one, basically, I like how you laid out with Kittle's the number one, Ricky being the number two focus. At that point, are you just saying, like, you know what, run the ball, then try to beat us with Juwan Jennings? If I'm Seattle, is that kind of like, and again, trying to just make this team run the ball is its own dangerous thing. We haven't really touched on that as we talk about things we know and things we don't know.
I love the running back position.
I want to get to that in a couple minutes here, because I do think we've been very negative around Jake Moody in the wide receiver situation.
I haven't been negative around Jake Moody.
Unit here on this show collectively at this station. But yeah, if I'm Seattle, I'm just thinking, you know, if I could shut down Kittle and Pearsall and try and force Juwan Jennings to be that guy coming off of a missed training camp, and then just see if you can just make this team run the ball down your throat. I can see that being Seattle's strategy to attack this Niners offense week one.
By the way, in a couple minutes, we got Matt Lively joining us, KPIX sports anchor, Valkyries pre and post game, and obviously the fifth quarter on KPIX with Vern Glenn. And who's Matt Lively, you might ask? Well, I just told you all of his, you know, specifics, but he's been at all the practices, the training camps, preseason games. Guy is locked in on all things 49ers. Talk about some risers and fallers with him, what he views Brian Robinson Jr. on this team as legit insurance, and ask him about his bigger concern. What is it, Juwan Jennings? Is it Jake Moody? Are we blowing this Moody thing out of
proportion? I wonder how concerned he is about all these injuries the Valkyries are having.
Well, that's the one for sure with the Valkyries. I mean, this is an expansion franchise, so I do think anything they do up to this point, like afterwards, is gravy, but that being said, you want to get greedy.
You want
to make the playoffs. Yep. Like, it would be disappointing if the Valks didn't make the playoffs at this point.
I need to see playoff Violet in action.
They're 19-18. I would be very disappointed if we didn't
still
see
got the eighth seed, I believe.
It'd be huge, man. Like, and I want to, like, I want to see action at Ballhalla. Like, those fans, that fan base has been unbelievable. Have you been to any games this year, by the way, Sam?
I have not. Sorry, they have the 7th seed right now.
Yeah,
and a tie over the Fever. The Fever come to town this Sunday, by the way. I have not been to a game. It's one of my biggest failings as a sports fan this year.
Caitlin Clark's coming Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be... Sam, you got to get to that, brother. Come on.
It's right when Miami and Notre Dame are playing.
Ooh, come on. On the phone. Come on, no?
I'm locked.
Why would you go to the Valkyries game wearing your
mask? If it was Miami versus anybody else, but no, dude, this is Miami-Notre Dame. This is Catholics versus convicts. This is the number three rivalry in Miami Hurricanes. I can't.
It's the number three rivalry.
Florida State, Florida, Notre Dame.
Oh, is that how it is, the rank for you?
Yeah, and we got both of those two loser schools on the schedule, too, this year. So
where's Clemson at?
Clemson's in South Carolina.
Well, but ACC, come on, man.
In order to have a rivalry with a team, you need to be able to beat them every now and then, unfortunately.
Cal? Stanford? Come on.
We're working on that Cal one. Don't get me wrong on that one. Stanford coming out to Hard Rock this year, too.
Oh, huge.
Anyway, yeah. Can't wait to chat Matt Lively in like 7.5 seconds.
Ballhalla, by the way. I've been to two games this year, both different ones. One was a win, one was a loss, so I'm 1-1. That's okay. The Atlanta Dream are for real. They got the size and the depth there to give any team fits. That's a sneaky dark horse for me come playoff time. But the Valkyries, I think I'm looking at this season as a success, but if I want to get greedy and give it an A++++,
oh, absolutely.
It's just making the playoffs.
Natalie Nicasse is a shoo-in, I think, to win coach of the year.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close. We've never seen an expansion team have this much success early on. And given all the lack of depth, talking about lack of depth, as you're talking about the Niners, lack of depth of the Valkyries, unbelievable. By the way, you're listening to 95% in the game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Matt Lively going to be joining us here shortly, courtesy of River Islands. But in the meantime, I wanted to hear this from one Trent Williams who spoke last Friday, I believe, after practice. And I haven't heard a lot from Trent Williams. And this is a guy, Sam, as we're talking about concerns kicking, sure. You know, depth at other positions, sure. Juwan Jennings, sure. But the left tackle, the blind side, everyone goes to first and foremost when they're talking about quarterback success is who's blocking for him. We know who's blocking for Jalen Hurts. It's all those big boys. The Jordan Mailata's, the Lane Johnsons of the world, right? The Dickersons of the world who got hurt, but you got depth there. You think there. You think of, obviously, Rashawn Slater, who went down. That sucks. But Joe Walt is right there. You think of the years past, the Joe Thomases, the guys that become synonymous with blocking and they're just available. Trent Williams is a first ballot Hall of Famer. But last year, I think he took a step back. And do we got our guy? We got Matt Lively. And
Trent Williams sound for the other
we'll
side.
It. Well, Matt Lively is joining us right here, right now. Courtesy of River Islands, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands of Lathrop? Matt Lively, KPIX Sports Anchor, Valkyries pre- and post-game, and the fifth quarter on KPIX with Vern Glenn. Matt, good morning. Joe Spadoni, Sam Lubman with you this morning, and I just want to dive right into it. Preseason is now over. We are less than 2 weeks away from week one against Seattle. Biggest question mark for you is what for this 49ers squad?
Right now, it's got to be the wide receiver room. I mean, when you think about I watched DeMarcus Robinson score a touchdown, and then you think, okay, what happens in the regular season for the first 3 weeks? What is happening with Juwan Jennings? Is this a calf injury? Is this actually a contract thing? Where are we going after Ricky Pearsall? There's just that's a huge, huge question mark for me. I don't think they're trading for someone at this point as they try to make their roster cuts. There's always this pipe dream of Terry McLaurin, which was never going to happen. He just got paid $96 million this morning. I'm concerned about the wide receiver position for sure. Yes, you have Christian McCaffrey. Yes, you have George Kittle, but it's going to be a lot on Ricky Pearsall for these first 3 weeks. If Juwan Jennings truly is going to have to be put on IR, which I know Tim Kawakami came out with that report that could be a possibility. So, I mean, they got to figure out what's going on with Juwan ASAP.
Yeah, Matt, again, you're talking about Juwan here, and Kyle Shanahan says that he's kind of hoping that Juwan will be there week one. I mean, I don't really know what to make of this right now. I'm being generous this morning and assuming that Juwan Jennings is going to be on the field for week one against the Seahawks. But if you were to put like a percentage on it, Like, how likely is it that we are going to see a Juwan Jennings on the field for week one? And the other concern I have is, I mean, the ramp up that he's going to have after missing training camp. They're going to need him to be a big part of this receiving core. How concerning is it that after missing training camp, is he going to be able to be counted on to kind of shoulder the workload that the Niners might be putting on him earlier here in the season?
I mean, look at what happened to Brandon Ayuk last week, or last year, I should say. The ramp up was huge for him. Nick Bosa 2 years ago admitted that he wasn't really himself for the first part of the season because he had missed training camp. Juwan Jennings not going out and getting the reps after that first week of training camp, not being in a preseason game, it's going to hurt him. No doubt. And if this is truly a calf injury, which, you know, Kyle Shanahan says it is, and they've alluded to the fact that this has been a problem in the past for Juwan Jennings, is this bothersome calf, then it's really an issue because, like, he really was truly hurt, probably wasn't able to put in the work that he wanted to put in. If it's a contract thing, you got to figure it out right now, like in the next few days max. But the damage has already been done in my mind. And it's not like these starters went out all three preseason games. The starters essentially played one preseason game. But I don't know. How does this happen every single year with these guys? It's insane to me that every single season, one guy who's going to be vital to this roster is somehow not there in training camp looking for more money or has an injury or whatever it might be. But they got to figure it out right now. As to a percentage chance, history tells us he is going to be out there because these kind of holdouts or so have worked their way out in the past, and they've suited up for week one. But if it truly is a calf injury, you know, it is what it is.
Well, and Matt Lively joining us here on the Morning Roast, KPIX Sports Anchor. And Matt, like, there's part of me, if I'm a fan, being like, all right, like, Juwan, I know you were the number one on this team last year technically, but, like, there's levels to this thing. So maybe that's why, like, even, like, I'm not even taking it that seriously. I know it is serious because you need the guy out there, but, like, you're not Terry McLaurin. You're not Micah Parsons. You're not some of these names out there. You're Juwan Jennings, and I'm not trying to, like, poo-poo the guy, but, like, once Ricky Pearsall, like, emerges, he's a first-round pick. You got a first-round attached to him. You got George Kittle out there. Like, if I'm game-planning against Juwan Jennings, if I'm, the, like, Mike McDonald week one, maybe he's the third guy I'm looking to, fourth guy I'm looking to still on that offense. So, like, I can't imagine, Matt, he's asking for this massive pay increase. Maybe it's another year and a couple million. Like, I know you're not you know privy to all these conversations, but I can't imagine it's that big of, like, a holdup, right?
I think that is the big question. Is he underpaid currently? Definitely. But you also signed a contract last year. That's the risk. He had a career year. He had a breakout year. So does he want, I get that he wants more money, but you just signed the contract last year. I always thought at the beginning of this, when the report came out from Adam Schefter that he wanted a new deal or he wanted to be traded, that we were looking at a Jacoby Myers situation. You're in the ballpark of maybe you give him three more years and you're giving him between 10, 12 and a half million per year. You know, you're looking at that 3 for 30 to 3 to 35 million. That's kind of what the range is that the Niners have to make right now. They already just paid a wide receiver one. They gave Brandon Ayuk a ton of money. Christian McCaffrey is being paid a ton of money. George Kittle is being paid a ton of money. You look at what they did with Brock Purdy. You look at what they did with Fred Warner. There's not that much more to just go around. So if Juwan is coming in and he is looking for that wide receiver one kind of money, this deal probably won't get done.
Matt, we're talking about, you know, things that, you know, we're not confident or we are confident about with this Niner team this year. And one of the things that a lot of fans are not confident, or one of the guys, I should say, that 49er fans are not confident in, it's the kicker, Jake Moody.
Oh, boy.
Now, you were at the game on Saturday night, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me on the TV, when he came out to kick, I believe it was the second extra point to knot it up at 13-all, it sounded like he was getting booed coming onto the field, which, yeah, I can expect that. It sounded to me, and I'm hoping you could dispute this, it sounded like there was some anguish from the crowd when he made it. Like, there were some people in the crowd who were disappointed that he made the kick and that there is a rooting against Jake Moody thing going around out there. Was that just the TV sound playing tricks on me? Am I missing something here? Can you dispute that? Or what can you say on how fans are or aren't rooting for Jake Moody?
Yeah, from that like hermetically sealed press box at Levi's Stadium that filters out 80% of the sound.
Oh, they got great food. Great food there, though, Matt.
Oh my God, hey, the food at the Levi's Stadium press box might be the best in the NFL. Besides the fact, to the Moody question, it was funny when I thought I heard boos, and then I was going through my mind. I'm like, are people doing the Moody? And I was like, no, I don't think that's ever been a thing. I don't think people are starting that now. So I do think. Excuse me. He was getting booed. I didn't hear the anguish after the successful kicks, but I did hear the very sarcastic applause. You know, it's like when a pitcher throws 8 straight balls and then on the 9th he finally throws a strike and the crowd goes wild. That is what it sounded like to me when he made the kicks, which you don't want that. You don't want your home fan base trolling your kicker like that. That's like the one position in football where you just need this guy to have nonstop confidence. And when your fan base is turning on your kicker like that, there's a big issue.
Speaking of the fan base not turning their backs on anyone, it's actually the quite opposite. It's the Valkyries fan base that is just loving what they are seeing from this team. Head coach Natalie Kase, she's doing one of the most unsung coaching jobs I've seen in quite some time. Losing your all-star, taking an expansion franchise, Matt, like the Valkyries here, and having them on the brink of the playoffs, the next 5 games at Ballhalla, which are going to be massive for this team. Can you speak to the job that Nakase has done and how massive this homestand is going to be? Just talking about the depth of the Niners, the depth of the Valkyries getting tested left and right with all these injuries.
I know they have had the injury bug recently, which has been brutal for them. And there was a scary moment in Friday's game where Tip Hayes went down and, you know, she's questionable right now and probably going to be day to day. As far as the job that Natalie Nakase has done, it's been nothing short of remarkable to take an expansion team, to take all these different players from around the league, place them together, and then coach them up the way that she has and the way that they've been able to buy into her system. And not only the players that are currently there, but think they had players leave for Eurobasket and they had to bring in basically alternates who had to fit into her system for a 3-week span, and they won a ton of games in that time. She's just gotten such a buy-in from her players, and it's been fascinating to watch. And she's had, when you look at the span of her career and being in LA with Doc Rivers and learning from guys like Ty Lue, and then having Becky Hammon as a role model and going to the Aces. And then even before she took this Valkyries job, she flew out to Boston and shadowed Joe Mazzulla, who she has a great relationship with. She has surrounded herself with really good people to look up to, really successful coaches, and she has translated that into success overnight in year one.
Hey, Matt, great stuff. And I saw yesterday doing a little pregame action with our boy, Lo Neal. Lolo was wearing shorts. Like, whoa, first of all, he's wearing shorts, but Lo Neal could pull off any look. Let's keep it a buck. But how is it working with Lo? And by the way, you can catch Lo Neal and Evan Giddings every single pregame show every week, including the Laughing Monk for home games down at Sunnyvale. Go up and say what's up to them. But how is it working with Lo Neal, Matt?
I'm trying to get me, you know, the number of his wardrobe person because he's been rocking some crazy fits this preseason. I've loved it. I mean, I'm 3 years into this thing with Lo Neal. And it's like an NFL legend. So you kind of pinch yourself, especially when you're walking down the sideline, when they're playing the Chargers and you've got every Chargers fan who's screaming his name. And then you've got all these guys from the Chargers staff who have been there for years that are coming up wanting a little love from Lo Neal. So you pinch yourself because that's amazing. And he's just a great guy. I mean, he really is down to earth. You would never know that he's one of the greatest fullbacks of all time because he's just such a chill guy. And doing the show with him is a total blast. We have so much fun together.
Hey, great stuff, man. We'll do it again next week. Hopefully, actually, next time we're talking about you, we're either previewing or reacting to regular season football. Can't wait, Matt.
Let's do it. Thanks, guys.
There he goes. That's Matt Lively, KPIX sports anchor, Valkyries pre and post, and also the fifth quarter on KPIX with Ver and Glenn. We'll react to that on the other side. And it's going to be brought to you by Cars for Kids. That's Cars with a K.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.